Ladies and gentlemen, around the world, wherever you may be, get ready for Harmontown. Welcome to the stage, the mayor of Harmontown. You know who he is. You know how he gets down. Dan Harmon.
Beats, rap, rapping beats, beating to the rap that can't be beat. Dan Harmon on the microphone, slipping your mama's my Harmon bone. It's a tiny penis, but it gets the job done. It's not the way you use it, it's whether you have fun and whether she does too, and if you have her consent, and whether you do it in a sleeping bag or tent. I took your mama camping up at Algonquin Falls. It's a place outside a shopping mall. Zombies attacked and we took refuge in the building. I fucked your mama so hard I was gilding her pussy. My penis is gold. It plates your pussy. As I'm told, it's a chemical process called electroplating. I fucked it. Fuck your mama when I'm masturbating. Yo. 2006, motherfuckers. Yeah. I saw a pumpkin once. I saw a paper hat on a dunce. A paper cone. You wear it like a hat. You punish kids like that. You make them wear a cone made out of paper. It's like Don Draper did. 1961. Fucked your mama so hard. I made her come. She came all night. She saw the light. The coming light. The orgasm light. The Christian light. Gave her what's right, put her on the cross, sucked on her feet, poked her with a spear just to make sure she was dead. That's fucked up. After 3 days, she woke up, she came back out, she said, give me more dick, because what's up? I took her down to the park at dark, fucked her until it was no longer dark. The sun come up on me fucking your mom. She took a pom-pom. She did a splits in the air. She said, rah-rah, hooray, chair. And I said, table. She said, furniture. I said, cable. We were free associating. Fucked your mama so hard, I was electroplating her with the aforementioned system. I fucked your mama, but listen, she liked it. And afterwards, we went biking. Cardiovascular. It was spectacular.
Dope.
Raise your heart rate. Don't even masturbate. No FAP. F-A-P. No, not for me. Fucking your mama's the only activity I wanna be doing. Coming inside, it's an organic process. Makes your orgasm more wide, fulfilling the bandwidth of your pleasure. Fuck your mama at my leisure. It's a job though, I get it done. Like Larry Cable Guy, I'm number one. A yip, yippity yip, a yip, 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 a yip, 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 Harmontown. Is the show that's beginning. Harmontown is not the show that's losing. It's the show that's winning. There's no audience allowed in the warehouse because the man came down and shut it down. Thousand Island dressing. Yo, Deborah Messing. Deborah Messing. Yo, Deborah Messing. Deborah Messing isn't messing around. Harmontown, it's about to go down. And then it comes up. All right.
Shout out to Deborah Messing.
Yeah, thank you, Deborah Messing, for having that name. All right, well, yeah, I thought if we started with a rap that maybe the energy would be up more. I forgot about this.
I feel like people at home are definitely bopping their heads.
Yeah. Well... yeah, so I was shaving I was trying to trim my beard to go to this thing. I had to do this Rose Marie documentary Q&A with Dick Van Dyke. I was like, I'm going to be sitting next to Dick Van Dyke. He's a very handsome guy.
Respect. Yeah.
So I tried to trim a little bit, and then I nicked and I disconnected right where the mustache meets the beard. And I was like, oh, I better do that on the other side. I look like a ventriloquist dummy or like an Amish Japanese assassin, an Amish ninja fusion. I don't know what it looked really distinct. It looked really specific, and it was going to distract me all night. So then I just shaved the whole beard.
Rather than look like a shitty auctioneer.
Yeah. So now I look great.
How do you feel, though? Because you look younger.
Mm. Yeah, but what's the point of being younger if you're a young tub of shit? You look like a young fucking sad pimply seal. but not a sad pimply seal a day over five, which is 50 in seal years.
How was it?
It was interesting. I really liked that documentary. I really recommend it a lot. It has the unintended effect of making you kind of comfortable with mortality. Rose Marie is 95 years old, 94. She kind of like she's almost literally born entertaining. She's like 4 years old and she's like singing, and then she's 94 at the end of the documentary, and she's saying like, why am I left? What am I? Does anybody have a work for me? Like, I can come in my wheelchair and like she's just like, what? Anybody want me to do something? I'll do something. And I was like, yeah, there's that. Or then there's the Jim Carrey method. Like, I watched that documentary where Jim Carrey talks about being Andy Kaufman, and his whole thing is like, you know, none of this matters. And, you know, he had to, you know, he's like, oh, that's not a coffee cup. It's a, you know, I'm not about to drink out of it. Oh, now I did. And like, he had to, if you're Jim Carrey, you probably have to, you can't just be like, I'll do anything. So then you have to be like, okay, how do I feel about having $1 trillion?
Yeah. Yeah. And being broke. He started out so poor.
Yeah. And Canadian, which is like, yeah. That's like the poverty of nationalities. So even a rich Canadian is like a fucking it's already starting at zero. I'd apologize, but Canadians don't care.
Yeah, they're too nice.
Yeah, they're apologizing to me.
Yeah, they just happen to be shouted out at this point.
they're sorry. Tweeting, I'm sorry. You called us pieces of shit right now.
So you were inside a lot, I take it, when you weren't going out, because that means you watched a lot of documentaries.
Yeah, I mean, it's do you go outside a lot?
I go outside a lot.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah, it's where the people are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to watch the people.
How can you keep an eye on all of them? You know that one of them is going to kill you, right?
Yeah. Well, I keep an eye on that one, especially. But
you
know,
the only way to guarantee you don't die by person is to stay away from all of them, and that they are the number one killer of people right now.
I mean, I'm just trying. I don't go to, you know, there's a lot of places that I've seen with, you know, things go down, so I know not to go to certain concerts and certain places.
How would you have known to avoid the? I think you would have considered the Don McLean. What was that guy's name? Like, you would have.
I'm not headed to like an Eagles reunion. Right. I'm not going to any sort of like.
You can't tell what concert's gonna get.
I can.
Gonna get blown up. How? What do you mean? You can't tell. Are you magical? Are you like a CW hero? Are you? Do you have a? Are you the mentalist?
The mentalist when it comes to concerts.
Or are you saying you have a system?
Tell I have a system. I live right beneath the Greek. I've lived there for like 15 years, as you do as well. And you sort of get an idea of who's at the concert and what the show is going to be by like who's marching up the hill. So, yeah.
Is there a concert you'd buy a ticket to, and then as you were walking up to the Greek Theater, you'd like stop and turn around because you're like, ah, there's a lot of juggalos here.
Fish? Juggalos. Juggalos?
Juggaloos? Juggalees?
You were right. You were so right.
Juggalese?
Like juggalos or goose? So juggalese?
Give me a beat. What's it all about? Yo, going to concerts. Yo, what's it all about? Yo, what's it all about? All right, that's it.
Just hooks. Just hooks tonight, folks. No verse, just hooks tonight.
our guest tonight is Rob Hubel. Let's bring him on. you can sit. Yeah, over there is probably better.
Hello, everybody.
We got shut down by the fire marshal.
But there's the live streamers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, subscribers.
That's what I meant.
Do you want to hear my subscriber rap?
Dude, your opening rap, you're really good at that.
I'm not going to let that make this rap worse. Hit it. Yo. Subscribers. Yo. Imbibers. Yo. Philosophibers. Yo. $5 a month. Getting this shit on. G-Funk. Helping us out. Financially. If I was a subscriber, I'd be like Minnie Driver. British, but fake the accent. Fuck your mama, an accident. Yo, I put my dick in her pussy, said whoops, 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 a whoopsie, whoopsie dee. Whoop, 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 there goes my dick, there goes my dick. I slipped on my dick like a banana peel. I slipped on my dick, how does that make you feel? My dick's so long and slippery, I ain't gonna go to Tipperary. I'm not an old-timey singer. Yo, hit subscribers, mini drivers. Subscribers, in the driver's seat. Subscribers, $5 a month, $5 a month. Bring the funk. My name is Fred, I'm a subscriber. Thank you, Fred. My name is Janet, I'm a subscriber. Thank you, Janet. I see Tony, I see Sharonda. I see Peter Fonda. A lot of people don't know he subscribes. Remember in that movie where he drives a motorcycle with Dennis Hopper? I fucked your mama from the bottom and the topper. I fucked her titties first, then her feet. Then I did it backwards to the beat. Said hip hop, that fucked your fuck. That's a backwards fuck. Yo, I fucked your mama's butt. She didn't know what to expect. It just hurt. John Hurt. John Hurt was a robot in Aliens. Fucked your mama so hard she was a praline. It's dumb. You don't have to. All right, cut it. You don't have to rhyme everything.
That was intense. There's a recurring theme. I'm just picking up on a recurring theme.
Really?
About you fucking our moms.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of it's been identified as a sort of crutch or a tick.
It's
kind of hard to get around.
But it only touches on it briefly, and then it goes away, and then it comes back.
Yeah.
And then it drills down really hard on that.
Yeah.
And it goes away again.
Yeah.
But if I were, like, working out at the gym, I could take that song.
Yeah.
I'd put that song on the playlist.
It motivates you.
Yeah.
Right. You'd want to be lean for
now. Who made that?
Mama.
Who made these beats?
Who made these beats?
A couple of them are from Paramount.
Oh, Parallel.
Do we have the rights to these beats? Can I have some of this?
Yeah, absolutely. Fix yourself up, okay. A little cocktail.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you what, I'll make you a special rap just for your workouts.
Oh, shit.
Hit, give me a beat.
Yeah.
Yo, Rob Hubel, workout rap. Yo, warm up. Yo, stretch. Don't forget to stretch. Yo, stretch your feet, stretch your thighs, stretch your abdomen. I'm fucking your mama again.
What?
Tonight, stretch your quads, stretch your glutes. Fucked your mama with my dick flute. A toot-a-toodly-toot-a-toodly-toot. Mrs. Hubel is coming to school.
No.
Teaching her with my dick tonight. Workout tape, workout rap, doing it right. Fuck your head, fuck your eyes, fuck your ears. Stretch them out. Mrs. Hubel has no fears.
I don't like this.
I'm gonna swage her fears through exposure therapy. If she was scared of spiders, I'd slowly get her used to spiders. But she's just scared of my dick.
Scared of my dick.
So I give it a lick. I lick my own dick. Show her it's easy. I lick her dick. Then I get between her knees. Mrs. Hubel, please, can I fuck you till the break of dawn, till the early light? Mrs. Hubel, I might like to fuck you some more on all fours. Doggy style, they call it, but I don't like that language. 'Cause you're a woman to me. A human first, a partner second, a woman third, a dog fourth. All right, pick it up. Don't forget to cool down. Cool down now. Did a good workout while I rapped. Rob Hubel's workout rap is a masterpiece. Fucked his mama in the East. Went to Pittsburgh, Eastern Seaboard. Fucked his mama so hard she blew out a knee cord. They call it a ligature. Did I fuck Rob Hubel's mom? Sure, but then I married her after. And I gave her some dues from AFTRA. And SAG and BMI. Ass cap, don't go asking me why, because the ass is there and it needs something on it. What's Rob Hubel's mom's ass without a bonnet? She comes at you backwards, looks like a Cyclops baby. All right. Yeah, don't forget, walk it off and hydrate.
That was the most upsetting thing. Thankfully, my mom is not a subscriber and will not see that.
Was any of that true?
The exposure therapy part seemed realistic to me.
Yeah. Well, it's research.
I mean, also, she does wear a bonnet, I can confirm.
On her ass, yes. Yeah. She
ass
does
cap.
Wear a bonnet on her ass.
Someone from ass cap to...
a bonnet on her ass, yeah. That was good.
I got so excited about the bonnet rhyming with on it that I fucked up. So when you realize you do have a rhyme, it'll just fuck up your shit.
So winded.
I
was on a treadmill.
Winded.
Did you guys get that? I was on a treadmill.
You were booping the.
It was pretty good scene work.
Really adjusted all the speeds there.
I really am out of shape. I haven't worked out in a long time.
Do you guys have any phobias are genuine phobias? Like, and I would say the definition is, you know, not just being scared of something a lot or more than other people, but like phobia is a fear that would interfere with your ability to function in a certain situation. Like if you're unable to go out on a balcony.
Yeah. I don't know that I have a phobia by definition. I've had a couple of freakouts that I didn't. When I didn't know I had this sort of situation. Like one time we were shooting something and I had to wear a space suit for this sketch that we were doing. And I put on they got a real space suit from NASA, like a legit space suit with a helmet and everything. And I put the helmet on and it screws on to the neck thing. And all of a sudden, I couldn't get it off, and nobody could get it off.
Huh.
And I had a fucking freak out panic attack. Like, I was like, get it off. Like, and no, everyone's like, okay, just calm down. And like the thing, the visor was closed. And so it was like fogging up. And, you know, I just instantly thought like, oh, I'm just going to run out of air. And I would have been fine if I had just relaxed. But so I had a major freak out. That's not a phobia, though.
No, because that was impending death.
I guess I'm scared of spacesuits. Or space. Astronauts.
Yeah. When I was a kid and we would play hide and go seek and stuff in the neighborhood, flashlight tag, my strategy was I would find the creepiest, darkest, tightest fucking place where any human being would never even look, because it'd be like, why would a person even fit in there or go in there? And then I would just hang out in there until the game was over and come out victorious. But like, I and then at some point, I wonder if puberty does it, or if it's, did I bring it up? Because another thing I used to do is just let bugs and shit crawl all over me. Wow. But I think I know what happened there is, like, I was so fascinated with bugs and spiders and stuff that my aunt gave me for a Christmas gift a big Time Life book of big full color hardcover book full of the most poisonous spiders in the world, and like these crazy like close up photography and like all these statistics about how fast they can crawl up your arm and go in your ear and stuff. And like, I think the book freaked me out, made me start thinking of spiders as, I think, maybe. I don't know, though.
So are you currently
claustrophobic and terrified of spiders? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know. Did it change?
Because we had a really funny prank we were going to do.
Called Coffin Full of Spiders.
Coffin Full of Spiders.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder about, you know, when it comes to being afraid of being locked in a coffin and buried alive, that's not a phobia. That's just a...
I think everybody, yeah.
Everyone has that fear, and it's not an irrational fear.
Yeah.
You should be afraid of that. It'd be weird. It'd be a weird disorder if you were into it.
I've done that, and yeah, again, that's not really a phobia, I guess. But one time, I sound like I shoot a lot of things, but we were doing some pilot that didn't get picked up, and I was supposed to be dead, but they were shipping my body back home or something, so I was in a coffin. And just for this one scene, but it was filled with coffee beans. So they covered me in coffee beans because they were like smuggling my body out of the country or something like that. So I had to lay in this coffin as they buried me in coffee beans, like over my face. And then they shut the coffin. And I will say that was not cool.
Like, Jesus.
Yeah, that was pretty freaky.
Good news is when that really happens, you will be dead.
Yes.
So you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Unless you get buried alive on accident. What do you mean?
You still did. At that point, you're like 15 minutes away from dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. the most horrible death.
What are you afraid of, Brandon?
The dentist. I cannot stand the dentist.
Really?
Yeah, I have to get all doped up. I have to get a car service. It's a nightmare.
Really?
I cannot stand the dentist. I didn't have it. It was
because we have a funny prank planned for you.
What? No.
Called Coffin Full of Dentists.
God damn it.
Dressed as spiders.
Yeah, right? With coffee beans.
So do you just not go to the dentist?
No, I go to the dentist all the time because I'm terrified.
What do you mean all the time?
I mean, I go to the dentist a lot.
A lot.
Yeah, too much. Too much.
I'm currently dating my dentist.
I have a deep cleaning coming up.
Yeah.
At Hollywood Dental.
Ooh.
Steve Levy booked me a dentist. And,
shout out, Hollywood Dental. All your dental needs.
The keys to the bathroom are on little Oscar trophies.
Ugh. Does he have headshots of like famous people?
I think so. You'd think I would have looked at him, but the whole place is it's themed after like fame. It's a fame themed dentist, which I found a little tacky.
That's a great theme.
And I texted Levy as like, really, Hollywood themed dentist place, and he's like, it's got a really good reputation. And it's like, well. Yeah, that's really fancy. I mean, there's stars everywhere, but I don't know. Did you just read their press release? Or
I feel like the next sexual harassment thing, the next wave, is going to be in the dental world, just because that seems like it would be so easy.
Yeah,
you know, all of your patients are asleep, and certainly there are tons of stories of waking up and there's like a dick on your shoulder.
You're
pointing at me like I did. I didn't do that.
Yeah, there are.
No.
There are tons of those stories.
I put my dick on the dentist's shoulder.
Well, we had a wave of those. Yeah. I mean,
Speaking of things that I'm surprised haven't come up given the current climate, like, man, Sean Penn must be just in a fucking cellar somewhere with a crossbow pointed at the door.
Yeah, it seems like there would be a lot of people that are like, oh, you.
It's almost like some people whose savagery was outed 20 years ago are like getting some kind of like grandfathered in or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I tied Madonna to a chair and beat her for 3 days, but, you know.
That was a long time
ago. I got caught doing that. I paid my debt to society by making some movies.
Yeah. Let's all still play Chris Brown and R. Kelly.
Yeah.
It's the craziest thing. It's the craziest thing.
It seems like it's going to like spread to pro sports and music people.
Those are easy, though.
Yeah, it's so easy.
I want like every industry to have to start
giving like Wall Street
up.
And Yeah.
I want doctors and dentists and mailmen. I want the whole thing.
The mailmen.
Yeah, you know mailmen. Get down.
My mailman comes to my door with his dick out.
Are you guys scared that it's going to extend to like just like secrets, though, like private victimless stuff that just makes you a sicko? Like if we start opening laptops and looking at bookmarks and stuff, do you ever worry that it's just going to get to that where it's like, what do you think about when you masturbate?
It seems like there would be a line somewhere where, and also just, it seems like eventually there will be so much of it that none of it resonates. Do you know what I mean?
Right. I keep worrying about that too, like there being too much of a backlash.
Yeah. Or once it comes out, once somebody proves that any of that, and I didn't mean to derail us into this conversation.
I don't think you did. I think I probably, but the reason why we brought it up.
But eventually someone will get caught making it up. Someone will be like, oh, I made it up. I was trying to get money or whatever. And then that scares me because that could discredit the whole situation or delete the whole.
I also worry about either between that or just the sheer volume of it and the breadth of it, that like it'll play into, men's hands, and they can go like, see what happens after like a year and a half of it. That men will go, see, ladies, you can't run the party. Like, this has gotten crazy. You know, why don't we? And then we just go into Handmaid's Tale because it like gets so, like if something happens where like a dude gets burnt alive.
I haven't seen Handmaid's Tale. No spoilers.
Yeah. I guess I'm saying the same thing you are. Be like if there was like some crazy thing where like a guy got stoned to death or something at an Albertsons, and then it was the wrong Jeremy Piven. It was like Jeremiah Piven.
Yeah,
and he was like a feminist activist
who was on his way
to paint a sign.
Right now, there's a Brian Posehn and a Brian Posen. Brian Posen has just been outed.
Oh, really?
In Chicago, it's a big deal in the comedy community. And there's an LA group of people who know about him, but Brian Posehn is getting teased. A little bit of the drama.
I feel bad for real Joe Walsh because there's that Joe Walsh guy on Twitter always like, hey, you ever notice Santa Claus isn't black or whatever?
Yeah,
and then
that confused me.
And it's always says Joe Walsh.
Yeah,
and
I was like, what the fuck?
And then people will make jokes and go like, hey, you're living a life of illusion if you don't think that, the healthcare should be socialized. And I'm like, this is so confusing and sad. Like, I thought for a hot second that Joe Walsh had become like a PJ O'Rourke figure or something that he was like.
I did too. Yeah, I got.
He was like, "Life's been good to me so far. Life's been really good to me so far."
Yeah,
you know what? And it's because I worked hard.
Yeah, I pulled a Dennis Miller.
I pulled myself up by my bootstraps.
No, but Jeff Davis knows the real Joe Walsh, who's still out there bopping around, being groovy, and playing with the Eagles. Like, did Glenn Frey died, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
So I think maybe Glenn Frey's death like brought the other Eagles closer, and now they're like, I think, touring and stuff.
Oh, really?
Mm. Something for you kids to get excited about.
The audience is going crazy.
Right.
They're going nuts.
Cold War kids will be opening for them. If that means anything to you kids.
I wonder if you are in a band that has seen better days, let's say. You know, you guys were big at one point or legendary at one point. But you still have to live and make a living and that's what you've been doing your whole life. Like, I wonder if it eventually starts to suck when you're just like doing county fairs and, you know, you're like, she's my cherry pie.
Yeah, right.
Fuck. Oh.
Yeah, I'm sure. That
each, no offense to Warrant, or is, if that's who that
total
was.
Total offense.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's bands, like it's each individual band on a case-by-case basis. Like some of them are excited about it, yeah. And some of them are like hate it, but it's like, yeah.
We're it's not- usually when somebody gets sick in the band, and they're like, we got to get together because Garth's going to need a kidney, and yeah. He didn't invest so good after rehab, and...
Oh,
and
shit.
That's always kind of sweet to see, but yeah. It's also kind of dark because the lead singer is like still prosperous and goes off on his own, kind of looks back at his band like, I mean, I'm Pharrell. And
yeah. Fuck Garth.
Right.
Fuck Garth.
I'm Pharrell, and you guys are nerd. It's great. I guess Prince will get the Revolution back together again because Lisa and Wendy need something.
Lisa and Wendy need socks. They spent all their sock money.
Yeah.
I like that Pharrell and Garth are out there together.
I let you know New Edition was like, we got to, Bobby Brown, we got to do something.
We got to do it. We got to help him out.
Yeah.
I hope that I find $1 billion under a rock tomorrow so I can curl up under my bed and wait for the world to end.
That might happen.
Give me a beat.
I'm not working out to this.
Zibbity zah, zibbity zoo. Yeah. Tomas. Yeah. French rapping. Tomas in the house. MC Tomas. Toll house cookies in effect. Put them on a sheet in the oven. Don't forget to take them out so they don't burn down your place. Toll house cookies all over the place. Bet you bite a chip, motherfucker. Bet you bite a chip, Chris Tucker. Bet you bite a chip, brother trucker. 10-4. Toll house cookies on the plate to begin with. Toll house cookies going in your mouth like a Sith. Sith Lord using the force. Fuck your mama so hard, she said, of course. Fuck me more. Fuck me in Morse code. Fuck me like beep, 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 beep.
How we doing, how we doing.
That was me spelling F-U-C-K. Morse code semen on her face and it's okay. She said, do it again. Spell out your orgasm. Toll house cookies. MC Toll house. Yo. Chips Ahoy! It's a boy! Get the toys! I'm not jealous of devices. I think it makes making love nicest when a woman's got a vibrator. Toll house cookies, come back later. Go in the basement and eat while she does it to herself with a dildo. Alright. What? Okay. Toll house cookies. Ever open a can? Just eat it with a spoon because you're depressed. Yo.
Show 'em how we do 'em, how we do it.
Yeah, tell them how you do it. That's what he's saying. Okay. Yo. Okay. All right. Here we go. Here's the thing. All right. That was warming up.
Show 'em how we do 'em, how we do it.
Take a stick. Take a log. Take your mama to a bog. The fumes come up, you inhale them.
Show 'em how we do 'em, how we do 'em, how we do 'em, how we do 'em.
Yeah. I just like to tease him at the end with an adventure to a bog.
Sound like there was going to be a pretty cool adventure in that bog.
Yeah. Yeah.
People were going there with the stick.
Yeah, I have to wait to see.
I was
happens.
Super into the Toll House thing.
Yeah.
And then it was not, he was not saying, he was saying, show 'em how we do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought he was saying Tomas. I wasn't sure. I probably don't need to tell you. I couldn't tell what he was saying. And
yeah.
It was throwing me.
My street when I was growing up was Toll House Road.
No shit.
Yeah, so I was pretty psyched about that when I was little.
Did people make jokes?
A lot of people. I was harassed a lot. People were like, oh, you fucking elf. You know. It was terrible. It was and like now I can laugh about
and
it.
And if you corrected them and said that's Keebler,
that's right. There's
they,
no
they'd
point.
Be like, oh, yeah. Now you're a cookie expert, yeah, exactly. So you are an elf.
That's right. There's no point in even trying to correct them.
Yeah,
everybody thought I was the Toll House cookie elf.
I lived on 52nd and Calumet.
Is that in Manhattan?
Nope. Just sounds like it. It's in Milwaukee.
Oh.
My dog got hit on that road on Calumet. Calumet was a busy street. And if I ever want to make myself cry, like when I'm acting, I can just think about the sound that my dog Susu made when she got hit. It was like a hit and run. And it was like crazy sound of the car, I remember, and then this like plaintive wail that Susu made before just dropping dead. It's like she got hit and then went and then just made this sound and then died. And then my dad had to go out and like scoop her up. And I was like a little kid and was like at eye level with the dog as it was swinging in his hand. And he had this like annoyed look on his face. He was like really mad that the dog got hit.
Oh, you forgot to say, give me a beat. A very long rap about your childhood pet getting killed. Yeah. I'm not going to dwell on this topic for long, but I remember our neighbors hit our cat and killed our cat, one of our cats, when we were little kids. And, you know, they felt terrible, and they came to the door, and the first thing out of their mouth was, can we buy you a new cat?
Oh.
And we were like, why? What? Like, you know, they were trying
to, like, start at three new cats. Bidding starts at three.
They packed our house with so many cats. and all was forgiven. No, it was just, that was such a weird inclination on their part, like, this happened. We'll just get you a new one. It's like, are you not aware that we were attached to this cat? Like, you know, I know you're trying to be nice, but
they didn't know what to say.
Yeah, they didn't know what to say. Yeah.
In their defense, my therapist tells me a third of an apology is a commitment to change. How do you commit to change? You know, it was either that or we promised not to hit your next cat.
Yeah, we will not hit your next cat.
I left my house once to go out and play, and
these are just all going to be sad childhood stories.
Yeah, and I played. What do you do in an empty warehouse? You know, we don't want to bring out our fucking blue chip roast material. Dean Martin drinks, ladies and gentlemen.
There were a couple victories in life, though.
I ran out into the neighborhood and played for several hours and came home and my mom was waiting on the porch and she said, do you remember me telling you as you left to bring the kitten inside? So we had a new kitten, and it was on a leash to let it play outside on a collar. And then and I said, no, I don't remember. Still don't remember.
Mom.
Getting that instruction. I'll take your word for it. But... it's not going to bring Mr. T back.
Oh.
I don't think it was Mr. T that died. But there was a tomato tower in the garden next to the front door, and it was on this long, like, kind of just leash line, like a lightweight clothesline kind of thing that was like long enough to let it like explore and play.
And he loved tomatoes.
And he loved walking in circles around the perimeter of tomato towers and wasn't a primate, so did not have the thought of doing the opposite of what you've been doing when it gets hard to breathe. So it just kept, apparently it just hung itself.
Ooh.
Just like, and my mom informed me of this. I didn't have to come home to it, but I did have to hear the story, and definitely the headline was that it was my fault.
You should have, yeah.
I do like the style choice of ask the question.
Right.
Do you remember when I told you to bring the cat in? Do you remember that?
Oh, you don't remember? Yeah. Well, that explains why the cat's dead. It's kind of it's a pretty clever tactic.
Yeah.
Because it'd be like, it'd be like, yeah, I do remember. If she was making it up, she'd be like, oh, sweet.
Right.
Fucking A, then you should have done it, motherfucker, because you killed your cat. And then she'd be like, she'd go into her room and like, whoa, fuck.
In your defense, he could have been dead before she asked you to bring, you know, he could have been there from the day before. I don't know when the last time was.
Yeah, well, I don't remember.
I don't know the timeline.
Well, I don't think we weren't like we're not like hillbillies. We didn't like leave our cat out for 2 days and not know. It was like a rare thing to like.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we weren't. It was. But this thing is, I don't remember. I don't fuck mom.
No.
I don't remember that.
Stand your ground.
Yeah, I don't. I'm fucking 44. I've been trying to remember it my whole life. You know what? I don't fucking remember you saying that. That cat was fuck you.
I want to know what a tomato tower is.
It's like a.
Is it the little pyramid thing that you?
It's like a more like a cylinder. I would say, you know, with a slightly
wire.
Yeah, it's
frame.
It's a wire okay. cylinder.
Yeah.
With like a slight. It's not quite a true cylinder because the top is a little lesser diameter than the bottom. It's kind of like a Tower of Pisa kind of. That's not accurate, but like it's like a
tomato towers.
Tower.
Tomato towers.
I guess the idea is that the tomato will get born and then grab the tower. And I guess the idea is that you don't want your kitten to do that. You don't want it to like cling to the tower the way a tomato does.
They don't make kitten towers.
Nope. Maybe at the Humane Society they have an array of those in the back.
Come on back here, guys. Here's some tomato towers. Have a blast.
We'll be back in 10 minutes. They'll all be dead.
We love our pets. We love animals. We love our innocent dogs and cats. We are able to touch emotions when we think about them that we are not able to access when we think about human beings.
With 10 Tony nominations, including Best Musical, the New York Post says Something Rotten is a big, fat hit. This hilarious new show tells the story of two brothers who are desperate to write their own hit play while the rock star Shakespeare keeps getting all the hits.
When a local soothsayer foretells that the future of theater involves singing, dancing, and acting at the same time, the brothers set out to write the world's very first musical. With its heart on its ruffled sleeve and sequins in its soul, New York Magazine says Something Rotten is The Producers meets Spamalot meets The Book of Mormon. It begins November 21st. The tickets are at the AmundsenTheater.org. That's the Amundsen Theater.
Now through December 31st, tickets at AmundsenTheater.org. Now, we return you to podcast.
Something Rotten. You'll float too.
Give me a beat. Yo, this goes out to all the pets I killed. Sorry, Rover. Sorry, Muffin. Sorry that about all the stuffing that I let you eat and choke on to death. Sorry. Sorry, Beth, about the cat that I shot with my BB gun. Through the eye. Why? I'm a sociopath. Be a serial killer, but I don't have bravery or a support system. Jeffrey Dahmer is in the house tonight. Clean out that crawl space, play with the bones tonight. Squirrel bones, chipmunk bones, decapitated heads. Ed Kemper, in effect, fucked his mother's head after her death. Cut her head off just to make her stop talking. Turn her off. Man, mind hunter. Cruelty to animals. It's the number one sign, according to the FBI, that you're going to make people die when you become a person that's grown up. So don't let your kids torture your pups. Take them to the therapist. Say, fix this bitch. Don't wait to stitch 9 stitches instead of doing a stitch in time. A stitch in time saves 9, a sociopath. Put that kid in the bath. Hold their head down. Maybe drown your kid. Might save a couple hundred people's kids. if your kid's already dumb and you know that, then just take your thumb and put it over their trachea and push until you hear a pop. If you think it's going to be a murderer. Otherwise, don't kill your kid. Yo, but here's what MC Licorice did.
Yo, I'm MC Licorice. What I did was kind of ridiculous. I started a shelter for wayward youth, children at risk. This is what we do. We make them play foosball and weave baskets and go to the mall, and we take them to the zoo and say, look at those lions, and they don't grow up to be death trying. They grow up to be lawyers and doctors, and they work for Gamble and they work for Procter. My name is MC Licorice, and I took a proactive stance, tried to turn shit around.
Way to high road me, MC Licorice. Sorry, I wasn't as fucking optimistic as you. I don't believe half the shit you just said.
Why don't you come over here instead? Try talking that shit to me instead of behind my back.
Does it seem like it's behind your back? Fucking idiot. It's the microphone.
Oh, shit. You tough guy when you're alone.
All right, I'm coming over there.
Oh, shit. Ow. Ah. Let me go, Jackson.
Fuck you. We just had an awkward fight. My shirts are all stretched to the right. Big collars. Both turned out to fight like pussies. It's embarrassing for both of us. MC Licorice and me, Stan Schmengel. A sociopathic, non-serial killer, animal torturer.
I'll tell you about the time that I took a knife and I threatened a giraffe for its life. I said, give me your wallet or stoop down. He said, I got too long a neck. I'm not going to clown around. I got to eat leaves that are way up high. I said, motherfucking giraffe, now you're going to die. Give me all your money. He said, I don't have none. I said, that's right, son. That's right, son. You're a broke-ass giraffe because I'm a primate. And I'll tell you what I do. I lift weights in the penitentiary just to get strong. I didn't spend too long rehabilitating. I just came in the safari. I'm gonna fucking rob wild game. It's what I do. Rhinos, give me your money. Okay. Oh, God, yeah. No, why did I think that rap wouldn't be horrible and dark when really? I said give me a beat if you're talking about animal cruelty?
Really, it got really a little bit dark.
I've never shot an animal with a BB gun, in case anyone thinks that's how freestyling works.
Certainly I like not that you would have been a great serial
I've
killer
never been cruel
if
to
you'd
an
had
animal.
Some support.
Yeah.
That was my favorite line.
You did bring up a good point also about... cruelty to animals being such an indicator for future sociopathic tendencies. Like, it seems like if you are a person that is cruel to animals, they should just put you in jail. Like, that would save so many human lives.
Yeah, I mean, how many times did you hear when you were a kid,
of course, yeah,
some asshole in the neighborhood that, like, yeah, did some fucked up thing to a cat or something,
yeah,
and, like, bragged about it? Because it's like they can't help but brag about it. And yeah, it's like they don't all become serial killers, but they definitely, like... That's what? Just because they don't, like, whatever. It's like they're, what if you, because it doesn't even matter what your stance is about animals, like whether you're PETA full blown, like no animals should ever be hurt, and you know, the eggs you ate this morning are a crime and stuff, or if you're like way over on the other side and are like, no, if it's not a cuddly, adorable dog, I don't give a fuck about animals, or even if you're like the kind of person that like hates cats and shit. Like, people that are just like, they torture animals, like they do shit to cats and stuff, like where they like they fuck with them, like just to, yeah, fuck with them.
But why not just lock those people up?
Yeah.
Yeah. It does seem to be an indicator.
Because it's like, what do you do? Like, why would you have fun doing that?
Yeah,
that's the thing. Is we sort of, if you merge the two, like being disrespectful to women and animals, there's this whole culture that we kind of got to rethink violence, because I think we got lazy with it and we were sort of like, well, that's violent, but that's not violent, and this is okay to watch and this is okay to show, and we're sort of at a place where it looks like we might want to look at all of that again. And that might be one of the first things we do, is be like, animals. Let's start with animals and work our way up to humans.
Through like, women.
Yeah.
Is what we're implying.
Because it's rough.
Yeah. Where are we headed? I think my optimistic view of it is that we are rototilling the fabric of society right now. Like we're...
Yeah, that's the theory I've heard other people mention also, which I'm
just jackhammering the concrete, yeah. And it's like, of course, that's not going to feel comfortable or even righteous. Sometimes it's going to just feel insane. And every day someone says, all right, that's enough, you know, because it's a friend of theirs or someone that's like, what, him? No, that's enough. Or this specific story is like, well, if that's all right, that's enough. But I think it's just like a jackhammering of the concrete. And then hopefully then if we could just observe while we're doing that instead of there being a backlash, that maybe this is the ticket to, we start to adopt a code and a principle where we go, I subscribe to the sort of equivalent of the Asimov's rules of robotics or something. There's three rules, a litmus test you can rattle off before you have a human encounter, whatever it is. And you go like, okay, so who's harming who or who's getting away with it? I don't know. There's some like code, and like, that's like a religion that comes up out of it, where it's not about men versus women or people of color versus white people or whatever. It like stops being that because it becomes so chaotic and it becomes so like, what, Mr. Rogers did that? Oh no. And like all of these heroes or funny people are tumbling and there's all this like crazy shit until we're all so confused that we all cry out at once for order. We go, give us, then tell us what to do. Tell us how to think. Tell me something to tattoo on my arm so that I can just look at it. Give me a symbol of a shamrock or a circle with three dots on it or something that could represent like the three acid tests of whether or not you're good or evil. And then it can just be about people that subscribe to that belief system versus people that don't. Because the belief system I have built into it, as does animal cruelty, like a kind of like, well, why would you bother fighting this? Like, and then there would be people going like, I don't believe in that circle with two dots thing. Why? Well, what? No one told you to get the tattoo, but why are you so scared about that? What slippery slope is there for you? And then we could just like, we'll just choke those people to death, put them in prison.
The Al Franken thing is sort of something that you just said, which was that when they find out Mr. Rogers has done something weird, and it's so frustrating to hear people sort of defend him, because you're at this point where you're like, the world assumed that only people you didn't like
are going
to be found guilty. And it's sort of a wake-up call to say, it's going to be guys that you like.
Yeah.
It's going to be people you love, fathers and brothers. And we have to say we have the same standard.
Yeah, and what I mean, I'm sure there's a, like the Al Franken story is getting pretty close to, I'm pretty sure, like within 10 years. Like, I don't think there's probably not a photo you could dig up of me like honking some titties, but like, and I don't think I ever like,
right.
But I just it's in terms of, it's like, well, I would expect that sooner or later, if we were gonna like put a black light over my entire life, 40 years, that there's got to be some narrative where I'm like way out of line in my past, so, and I'm definitely not pretending to not remember. Like I don't know if, you know, but what I do know is that if there was some, like, if someone said something, it was like, oh yeah, I was doing a show with Dan Harmon and he blah 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 and he did this and that. And I would go, if it was true, then I would go, okay, yeah, that's true. And I that was fucked up. Yeah. I either was just reminded of that because of the story, or I've been thinking about that for a long time and I'm really embarrassed about that, blah, blah, blah. Isn't that basically how Al Franken responded? I don't know if his apology was like suitable or whatever, but what's the big, you know, it's like, if you didn't actually, it should be okay for there to just be like, oh yeah, by the way, here's some like shit sprayed on you, here's a little dye pack on you from 2005, and you should be able to go, yep, sorry, And
yeah,
then
the key is evolution, in that if we found something about you in 1998 and then you were still doing it in 2006, sort of like in a Louis situation, I think then people are angry. But if we find out that when you were 18, you were inappropriate, but now as a grown-ass man, there's never been a case again against you, then we see that you've evolved. And I think that's what people are asking for. Yeah. And I think that's the thing that separates cases.
I think the crucial things are cover-up, dishonesty, stuff like that. Like, yeah, if there's a trail of like, nope, I'm gonna keep doing this and I'm gonna lie about it, or like if it comes forward and then the person's response is like, that didn't happen, like, okay, then we have to, and then it turns out it did happen, then it's like, okay, but do you understand that that doesn't bode well, because you're not, that means that if you could get away with it, you would, as opposed to like, oh, did I do that? Urkel, we call it the Urkel.
The Urkel effect.
Just say, did I do that? Just remember Urkel, the Urkel principle. How do you spell Urkel? And then we'll make up like an acronym for the... I don't know. What, how did that come up? I don't know. Oh, the Al Franken thing, I guess. Yeah. Because it's like... well, yeah, he's a senator. I think we should assume that all politicians are fucking creeps for sure, right?
Well, there's going to be.
Why are you shaking your head? Oh, because of Maxine Waters? You're so fucking racist.
There's definitely.
What about Kamala Harris? I'm not racist. Oh, she's black too.
There's definitely going to be a ton of old white men in D.C. like that get fucking purged from this. I mean, on both sides, I'm sure, you know.
I mean, it just should be no shock to anybody, yeah, that a senator of any state, I know that should not be okay, and I'm glad it's no longer okay, and we should expect that every single fucking one of them is going to have somebody come forward and say, like, yeah, because people with power. My therapist said she's a married lesbian. And she said,
does she watch the show?
No, I don't think so. If she does, she's smart enough to pretend she doesn't. Because then I think it'd feel like it would ding our therapy or something. But she uses Family Guy references to like make her points. She's
you
like, sometimes
it.
Peter Griffin has like an angel on his
shoulder.
She doesn't. Yeah, and I'm like, I have a cartoon you could use.
I know. That is hilarious.
I would love to see your face when she says
it's exact. I'm like, yeah, great. The third time she did a Family Guy reference, I was like, are you trying? Like, we're gonna have to have.
She's like, well, he's in comedy. He'll appreciate that I'm trying.
I'm gonna need to see you twice a week because of your references are fucking me up. Like my, it's like when do I get some validation?
Hilarious.
I get it. I should let go of the need for that. But like, do you have to?
Wait until she starts to talk about it like she doesn't know you're associated with it. Just, you should have seen on Rick and Morty. Do you watch that show? Anyway, Dan, you should have seen on Rick and Morty.
But she said, listen, it's power. The studies and the anecdotal evidence show, even in the psychological community, like women who are not only women, but they work in the shrink industry, there's still ways to become empowered as a person to the point where your mind starts to bend and it happens less because women are because we've gaslit them into like they don't get as many chances to be in such power that they can like find out.
She's saying it's
up.
Human.
Yeah, it's like it's a person in power thing. I'm still I don't think it's like a split equal thing. I think it's gonna take decades to convince me that guys aren't like neurologically like more fucked up. Like just like I it just seems but I do believe her when she says like anybody that gets a ton of power over another human being, like there's all that there, you have to go into that situation with your shit together. That is not going to bring your shit together, that situation. So there's just like a big, you know, there's syndromes of like powerful women that will just like psychologically torture the dudes underneath them, you know, like I think it's probably a smarter and more awesome kind of because it's sexist that when we think about it we go like that would be awesome. But anyways, why did that come up? Because you'd said
Kamala Harris, she sexually harassed.
Oh, well, yeah. So that's why I'm saying like all like all senators. We should just there's no harm that can come from assuming that all senators are liars, thieves. It is not our patriotic duty to think that someone in office is a good person or honorable. Like, it is arguably a patriotic duty to be skeptical and assume the worst about our servants, you know?
Do you think that this will swing around on Trump, or will they just continue to say that happened a long time, then that's not true?
I don't know if it's like this elephant in the room. Well, somebody was mentioning that
him tweeting about Al Franken made blood
it was so
come out
crazy
of my ears.
But also tweeting about it like a little poopy boy, like, yeah. It's like, oh, guess where his hands went in picture 2 and 3. It was like, bad at being a billionaire. We knew that. Bad at being president. Then it turned out we were kind of marveling at, wow, he's bad at being Hitler. Wow, that's a relief. He's being bad at being Hitler. I never expected he'd be bad at sexual harassment, like bad at parsing a titty honk photo. I was like, do you think it's a slave? He thinks it's a missing. He thinks it's a beginning of a slideshow.
Yeah, there's a whole lot.
He's like bad at being a douchebag. Like, he's bad at looking at that photo and just going, oh, looks like he grabbed him dudes. There's a couple ways to interpret his response. One is that he looked at that photo and was like, yeah, okay, fine, but you know that shit got bad in the subsequent photos. Like, that because he didn't look at it as a bad thing.
Yes. Because in his world, he's used to getting busted for so much more. He's like, if that was number one, God knows what 2 through 5 are.
The other way to interpret it is that he got a hard-on and was just sharing it with America. It was just going like, whoa, look at that. Like,
did all of his accusers just get paid off? Like, how did that all just go away?
I don't know. All I know is that people are, you know, when people say, oh, but what about this guy? I was like, well, let them run their sexual predator guy. Like, why are we trying to, like, pull him out of the race and all this stuff? Like if you pull him out of the race, then they've already learned that, you know, it's neck and neck with a pedophile running. So they just find a non-pedophile. They would love for him to be disqualified. That's a do-over. So I was making that argument. Like, just run your pedophile.
Yeah,
and they're like, well, yeah, and then he's going to win. I'm like, well, then let the games begin.
Yeah.
You know, like I know that there's this bigger chess game, like, where, oh, we got to topple we got to get the majority. But that's how they're thinking so much that they're running a pedophile.
Right.
So let's, like, it's not like, oh, be Christ-like and just let them run the game. But when there's that much tumult to the point where they're, like, banging shoes on the table saying, like, you know, there's a larger loss here for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they should, right? They should be forced to run that guy. Like, what, like, why should that? I mean, obviously
they don't have to seat him once he wins the election.
Yeah. I mean, I think that
how bad would it be to lose to the pedophile, to be the fucking, I mean, that's your claim to fame. Hey,
particularly because
I lost to the pedophile in Alabama.
He's the lawyer that went after the people who killed the 4 girls in a church that they were blown out of. So that even sends a larger message. The fact that it's neck and neck is terrifying.
I don't think it's neck and neck anymore.
Not anymore, but it was 8 points 3 days ago. Now we're up to 4 points back again.
Really?
So it's
these
it's,
are also polls in Alabama. I mean, these are like phone polls. What kind of idiot is picking up their landline in Alabama, you know?
Tammy Sessions.
Yeah.
Hello.
We saw the headline that said that, oh God, it was some statistic about, like, I'm pulling this number out of my ass, but it was like the actual numbers I'm pulling out of my ass. But it was like 6 out of 10 evangelicals in Alabama say that now that they know about this, they're
rescinding their endorsement.
They want to vote for him twice or whatever. Oh, that God. It was like that they're doubling down, however they express that they're more likely to vote for him now. Like, how is there even a degree? Was that a continuum? Like, well, now I'm more likely to vote for one of two people, the where it's a binary decision between whether I'm in my mind, whether I'm good or evil. Now I'm more likely to double down.
The most brilliant move, like talking about playing chess, was the robocall thing of like, oh, let's have a fake Jew from the Washington Post calling and like murking around looking for more dirt on him just to sully the whole media, you know, just to like just to fan the flames of resentment.
I didn't hear about that. It was a it was a false flag robocall.
It was a robocall in Alabama, a real robocall that went out, and it was you got to hear it. It's amazing. It's a recording. You know, it's like this is Bernie Bernstein from the Washington Post, and I'm looking for some information about whoever I forgot the guy's name. And they're like, if you have any tips, no questions asked, I pay $5,000, call this number, blah, blah, blah. Like, just so that, just to muddy the water so that people are confused about whether or not that's real and whether or not the process of finding that information is, and just to throw doubt on whether or not any of that information is real.
Right. Right. Most people said things like, I don't know about the timing.
Yeah.
The timing's kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird that it would come up right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean the timing of finding out that
these allegations from all these women from like 40 years ago, and this guy's had a long career, you know?
Right.
So they're saying like, why would it come up now? That seems weird to them. And, you know, they're not taking into account that there could be this movement going on where and they feel empowered or emboldened to speak out and to speak up, and they didn't before.
Right. You know?
Also, but the cover up was 40 years.
Well, I didn't know it was that's so weird. Like, it would be like, who gives a shit if it's politically motivated to come forward and say,
well, that's such a great excuse. Like, oh, it's politically motivated. Those are my political enemies.
That doesn't make it untrue.
Like, yes, they are your political enemies. Of course, that's how that works. Right. The job that you want.
Yeah.
Man, the audience is going crazy.
Well, you know, most people are just listening to this.
They're working
out. It's like a regular podcast.
They're at the gym, yeah.
Yeah. The subscribers get the treat of it's kind of like a Neil Hamburger-y kind of bit. Like there's no audience, so it feels like just awkward enough.
I didn't mean that the audience listening is going crazy. I was joking about the live audience here. Yeah.
Yeah.
What if we had cardboard cutouts of people?
Somebody did once suggest that we should fill it with mannequins and then said that Dan would not be able to concentrate. Shout out to Reddit.
Yeah, that's another exciting thing about all this, like, you know, allegations and all this stuff is like, unless... And I assume we're not going to start kink shaming, right? Because especially like if you're... It's like I kind of like... I never set out to be a hero by jerking off on a mannequin leg, but because that's a victimless crime, I'm kind of like an accidental King Arthur here. Like,
let's go ahead and bring those six legs out for their testimony right now.
Like, I just happened to. That's the other thing I want to be careful about. That's why I've been like careful to like go like, well, let's talk about the silence and let's take account about the way we're treating women and all that stuff, because I don't want, because otherwise I'm in the catbird seat and I didn't want to be, because I didn't shoot. That's not my choice. That's no more my choice than if I was born like gay or something like that. Like, my proclivities don't happen to involve
living people.
My proclivities involve my living girlfriend Cody, but a YouTube video goes so far, you know, like it doesn't, I never really, I don't have the biology, I don't think, that results in like being so frustrated with a woman for not letting you assault her that you have to jerk off in a potted plant like while she watches just to get your life back. But whenever anything that involves like coming or craving and all that stuff, I'm always like, even though it's like really easy to vilify the creepy people, like, I know, like, I'm creepy, you know, like, I'm just not, I just don't happen to be creepy in a way that like would ever bring me into an intersection where somebody else was getting hurt without their consent. But I don't think that's because I'm a noble person. I think that's because I like saw some pantyhose feet under the table when I was 10 years old in the 70s or something. And like, it would be just like so easy to just go like, oh yeah, let's find all the worst people and let's get rid of them. But it's not really... It's like you can find monsters if you look for monsters. Like, you'll just find them, but I don't think that'll... I think if you could wave a magic wand and get rid of every guy that ever hurt a person, I don't think that would solve the problem.
But also, people are complex, and no one is... Everyone has bad shit about them. And you know, not, everyone that is being... I mean... Not to tie it back to what we were talking about, but... you know, all of those people are still going to be in society and living, and like they were charged with whatever sexual misconduct or sexual assault, or like they have families and kids, and they love their kids, and you know, they just people. Sometimes I'm not defending any of those people, but I'm saying that people are complicated, and good people do bad things, and so how do we deal with that?
You know, yeah, we have to make this about like how do we fix society. Not if we it'll be the easy way out to make it into a okay, got this one, that one, that one, yeah, that one,
just some symbolic bullshit. Yeah,
because for a couple reasons. One is like just your classic scientific reason, which is like the same reason your doctor tells you got to finish these antibiotics. You can't just take them until you don't have the sniffles anymore and then throw them in the garbage. You got to keep taking them after you feel good, because if there's a couple left, they're just going to be really good at being making you sick. So the metaphor there is like, do we really want to just find the Weinsteins, hang them from the highest tree, and then what's left? Oh, the super secret agent predators that like never get caught. The Kevin Costners and Mr. Pottery Lacquer. What's that movie? Mr. Brooks, you know, the Mr. Brookses out there will remain, you know, watching the Weinstein corpse swaying, and they'll be like, okay, back to work with my Jeff Daniels or William Hurt, Tyler Durden in my SUV guiding me. You know you want to, come on, you know you want to go and do it. Come on, let's go kill some more people. It's pretty good, William Hurt. Come on. I never tried William Hurt. Just fucking did it. So when is anyone ever going to appreciate me for the fucking, like, accidental rich little that I am? Like, I'll just think of I can do a perfect impression of any celebrity once. I'll never be able to do William Hurt ever again. You guys know that you were astounded.
It was pretty great.
He's playing deep cuts tonight.
But then someone will say, do your William Hurt. And I'll go. Do you guys want to hear my impression of the beginning of the Sword and Stone Sword and Scale podcast? They have a disclaimer guy.
I'm not going to recognize this, but I'm going to act like I do.
Sword and Skit. Oh shit! I can't do it now. Sword and wait. Fuck. Can I do it privately? Sword and Scale. Sword and Scale contains violence and adult theme. Nah, it didn't. I was cracking Cody up with it. See, that's the thing. I did it once right.
One more
time. I can't do it.
Try it again.
Sword and Scale contains violence and adult themes. Sword and Scale contains violence and adult themes. No. I'm Aaron Mankey, and this is Lore. Podcast impressions. Karina Longworth had something interesting to say about Otto Preminger. This is the story of MGM and Charles Manson.
I was wondering if we could all try and do maybe a little bit of Ira Glath.
Is Charles Manson about to die?
Yes.
Did he already die?
It's close. Very close, I hear him.
Are people upset about that? People seem upset.
The weird thing will be, does Charles Manson, by virtue of our culture's well-justified penchant for irony and going lateral or correcting as we go, will Charles Manson get a worse or better Viking funeral than Hugh Hefner? Like, Hugh Hefner got fucking blasted. Like, he lived 15 years too long. Like, if he had died 15 years ago, which so many people that knew him and were in the same room with him argue that he did. That he it would have just been your usual, like, you know, he would have gotten that eulogy you'd expect of, like, he was an iconoclast and a rebel millionaire
that
changed the culture, blah, blah, blah. It's like he hung on so long that he got to see, like, oh, yeah, see you later, you fucking monster.
Yeah,
hadn't
he sold the mansion but was still living in the mansion?
He put the mansion up for sale with the odd caveat on the price tag that he was allowed to live there till he died.
Small contingency clause.
And now the guy said he's going to reunite both properties because it used to be one huge super mansion.
Oh, really?
Isn't that crazy?
I've never been there. It seems to me like it would be a bummer.
It's a bummer.
You know, there are parties out there and be like, oh, it's going to be at the Playboy Mansion. I'm always like, that's... fucking bummer.
It was a bummer.
Yeah.
It was a bummer.
I was there once. Yeah. I think it only smelled like mildew because it was raining, and so they did something they don't normally have to do, which is because it was an outdoor on the lawn part courtyard party or something, and they had to unroll awnings that I think just were only, they just rolled up since the last time it rained. And so the whole place smelled like your grandpa's sleeping bag.
Yeah. Yeah. And the buffet was sort of weird looking, sad, kind of like bad hotel-y. Did you get that?
Yeah. I mean,
Mar-a-Lago.
More Princess Cruise Lines. Just dark, dark.
That's where my famous David Hasselhoff story takes place. Me and Schraub, where we harassed David Hasselhoff.
At the
Hasselhoff.
Playboy Mansion?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
And we walked up to him and said, we were just high off our asses. And we were like, we have to talk to David Hasselhoff. And we go, we made a pilot and it's about you. It's inspired by you. And he's like, you made a pilot about me? And we were talking about Heat Vision and Jack. We're like, yeah, it was directed by Ben Stiller, and it was about it was called Heat Vision and Jack, and it was very inspired by Knight Rider and so on. And he's like, Ben Stiller, what else did he direct? And Schraub said, Zoolander. Why that was his from the, and then David Hasselhoff just like processing all of this, like, cocks his Hasselhead, and then goes, Zoolander's about me. And then Schraub and I just, like, we were just beat, and we both went, yes, and then just walked away.
That's awesome. I'm sure he might still think that.
Yeah, I mean, that's where we were, like,
tells people
we were, like, cracking up. Like, we weren't trying to, like, punk him, but we were just, like, we were too high to be talking to anybody, much less, we did a bad job, so at least we turned that into a story, and now the only real victim of this story is going to be a David Hasselhoff's lawyer, because, you know, that guy got a 3 a.m. phone call. Like, I want you to, like, look into the Zoolander, more like Zoolander, because I'm hearing that movie's about me.
Hasselhoff, like, at every party has to endure, like, so many, you know, so many people are, like, just stoned, like, we have to talk to Hassel. Literally, it's just a barrage of people, like.
And fortunately for him, he's so hard to find in a crowd because he's only 7'0".
Is he really?
He's so tall. I mean, it's like Tim Robbins, John Cusack, David Hasselhoff. They're like in an industry where everyone's shocked to find out that everyone's 5'3".
Yeah.
Like, you and I are tall guys relative to these, like, these tiny little fucking Keebler Toll House
elves.
Fucking
Vince
Toll
Vaughn.
House elves.
Elves.
Vince Vaughn. Super tall as well.
Vince Vaughn. Yeah. Yeah, he's tall.
Conan.
Do you know anything about Hubel's new show?
No, yeah. I keep planning to, like, thank you. Good comp trolling.
Oh, I'm not worried about that.
Hubel, what are you plugging? And may I congratulate you on your choice of venue to plug it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not plugging that hard. We made this show for YouTube Red, which is like their new pay thing. But yeah, it just came out. It's called "Do You Want to See a Dead Body?"
Oh yeah, okay. I heard you talking about this on God damn it, how did this get made?
Yeah, yeah. And so it's basically I used to do this bit on Funny or Die, and we just expanded that into like a larger TV world, where I just take different comedians out to go find a fucking dead body somewhere.
Is it sort of like, are you accomplishing, even ironically, interview while you're going?
No, that was going to be our original idea. It was like, oh, it'll be like a talk show, right, and I'll talk to them. But no, it's fully scripted. So I play me, and they play, you know, a weirdo version of them. But it's always like, it's very little about the body.
have you met our new running character, Tiny Brandon?
Brandon said he want a drink.
It's
I'm wondering
our new...
did you think that no one was going to notice you? Like, he just slid.
Tiny Brandon, wait, Tiny Brandon, can you stick around a little while?
Sure.
Just okay. I don't.
We were talking about the show, about dead bodies.
Tiny Brandon, are you worried about America?
You know, I open up for Kevin Hart, and when we're on tour, I see a lot of different faces, all so big.
I thought Tiny Brandon was a child. I think he's an adult, but he's mentally handicapped.
Yeah, when I first saw him, I thought it was like part of the Harmon Babies thing we're launching, uh-huh, where it's like all of us that are like but younger. But yeah. No, I think he's
Tiny Brandon.
Yeah, he's 48 and he's fucked up. Like there was a fuck up at the hospital.
I'm under the podium, when Big Brandon needs something, I comes out. I'm Tiny Brandon. Now back to your show.
Okay, thank you, Tiny Brandon.
Brandon. Someone should make a T-shirt with Tiny Brandon on it.
Someone will do something. We've got some very talented fans.
What I miss? Hubel's show. Hubel was talking about his show. That's what I missed.
Yeah, but so it's basically just an excuse for me to hang out with that person. But it's not like a reality show. You know, it's a scripted thing. So supposedly. Famous people will drop whatever they're doing and come with me to go find a different dead body every episode.
But so, not all famous people, because obviously, like, I wasn't called.
No, there was no way to use every famous person in Hollywood.
Yeah. There's also so many famous people nowadays.
There's so many famous people. And I put famous in quotes. Right. But
do you find a body?
Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't find a body. Sometimes the guest become like there's one with John Cho that starts out, and 5 seconds into it, he falls into a thing of quicksand. And so the whole episode is me. I run into town to buy some rope, and then I just keep getting distracted and, you know, getting you know, harangued into something else. And then I keep coming back to him to give him an update. And every time he's like lower and lower in the quicksand. So then he becomes the body, you know.
That's awesome.
So, but, and then there's like one with Cordry where Cordry starts taunting this big dog, and we're cutting through someone's backyard, and there's this big fucking mean dog, and Cordry starts like taunting it. Of course, the dog breaks off his chain, and the whole episode is us running full speed away from this murdery, like very scary dog. And so it's just dumb bits like that, you know. They're 15 minutes long, super, super easy and silly, and it's like my favorite thing.
I know this is a dumb question, and I have a show with YouTube Red, so I get asked this question and have no idea how to answer it, but what the fuck?
Yeah.
Maybe other people know how to answer it. Maybe that's why they ask.
What was it like to work
with
them?
YouTube Red?
I've told everybody it's been really great because they let me do literally anything. Like, literally anything. They were just like super psyched. You know, I think they're just kind of getting going with a lot of their shows and trying to get more people to come and do shows there. So, you know, I think at the beginning, you know, like Netflix and Amazon, when they first started, they're like, how do we get good people to come make shows here? Mm-hmm. Oh, we don't fuck with them.
You know?
So that was my experience. They were super cool to me. You know, I wish that they would run fucking commercials like on TV for it and stuff like that. But they're like, no. We're YouTube. We're going to put it like all around YouTube. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, then I'll leave that to you guys. You know,
I think they're making, I'm very dubious about one, but this also might not be an actual thing that they're doing. This may be how they explain what they're doing to people they have no intention of bringing back for a second season. But what I'm hearing through the grapevine is that their methodology is like, they're just waiting to see how many people subscribe, and then of that group of people that subscribe, like, how many of them based on the behaviors that are very monitorable from YouTube's cockpit, like how many of them subscribed for your show and how many of the, like, very, very meticulous, intricate, very valuable data. But there's this kind of aspect to it where it's like, they're not, they're waiting to get the entire picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel
what's scary about that, all that stuff is so measurable now, you know, like Netflix and everything, they can tell what you watch, how long you watch it. Did you watch the whole thing? Did you not watch it? What else you watch that's like that? So that sort of stuff is scary, and that, like, because, none of those places have ratings, but they have even more specific data, which is...
But I would have liked, because your show, it makes more sense. Just the title makes more sense. The premise makes more sense. My show was... it ended up being community, but what if esports, it was kind of like, oh, this could be a real TV show. And if I had known what the business plan was going to be in terms of like how you got a pickup, I would have called my show, for instance, Do You Want to See a Dead Body? Literally, because that's like the most brilliant, because it's like I would have leaned into
some
that
kind of hook,
or I would have called it like fuck. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. Whoa, fuck.
Cool dicks.
But there was a lot of talk of like TV 14. This and that. It was like, well, that sounds weird, because you like that's not Amazon. That's not Netflix. That's those other companies were just like,
yeah,
it is true that those companies are like, well, we don't really know what we're doing, so let's just start doing it.
Yeah.
Who wants 10 episodes? Okay. This person worked in TV. This person worked in TV. And that I'm worried about this model like dying on the vine a little bit, like, but then again, they're YouTube,
they have all the money in the world.
They can do it once wrong and then shake it off and do it and then be even better than everybody.
Well, they're definitely figuring aspects of it out, I think, like, because I was worried about that too, like the TV 14 type approach, because I didn't want to do that. I don't want to like make a show that's appropriate or palatable for like little kids. Like, I don't really care. Like, all I really wanted to do was make a super fucked up funny show with our friends, and like, I knew that if we did that, then that's all I can control. Like, I can't control any of the other bullshit of the marketing and who subscribes to it and how many people, blah blah blah. So yeah, I try to approach things, as I'm sure you do. It's just like, someone gave us some money to make this. Let's make this thing as cool as we can, and then maybe we'll get to make more. Who knows? If we don't,
I should have approached it more like that. But then again, that's not how this project got developed. Like, people came in that like were excited about the esports thing and it had an exciting take on it.
Yeah,
we took it wide. YouTube Red ended up expressing the most interest in it. So that whole process is kind of like incompatible with the idea of, and then we'll see if anyone wants to subscribe based on zero promotion and what they click on and how long they click on it. But like, again, I would have called my show Pussyfoot.
it would have been
the adventures of Pussyfoot, and the sub headline would have been like, could a pussy be a shoe? Like something, or like, I would have called it McSniblets, colon, the Pussy Shoe Diaries. Anything that would like be trendable and clickable and like, and would have had like a guerrilla feel to it too. Because I wouldn't have tried to make Cheers. That doesn't make any sense. If you don't know Cheers exists, and frankly, if you aren't being told by People Magazine that Cheers is worth watching, you're not going to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I think we did it wrong.
Well, it's tricky for sure, and our show just came out on Friday, so I don't know. I mean, I will say this too about the name of the show has not been an easy name in the current country that we live in, because we were going to put the show out last month, and then the Las Vegas shooting happened, and YouTube was like, no, like, don't put it, and they were like, let's move in. I was like, yes, absolutely.
And then at a certain point, you guys just do a little bit of ADR and change the name to the show. Is, would you like to avoid seeing a dead body at all costs? And then it's like a hit.
Yeah.
But I mean, the only thing you can click on to guarantee you don't see one. And then there's like one coming around the corner. Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, like, I've just told people like in press and stuff, like, this is not me killing people. There's no violence in the show. It's just a fucked up treasure hunt. It's like me It's like Stand By Me, you know. It's like, but just with like funny adults.
That's really.
So, but it's still like the name of it scared them a lot. I think, is you know, just as far as shit that keeps happening. You know, like they're like, oh,
yeah,
we can't put it out now. There was just, this thing, you know.
Yeah, well, let's wait. Like, let's wait until these mass shootings cool down.
Yeah, or until, death goes away.
Until absolute. Oh, like 100% saturation to the point where no one could possibly be offended because it would be like if your show was called Who Wants to Breathe Oxygen?
Yeah.
Because there's just dead bodies everywhere. But you know what's funny about this in like a weird like Magnolia-ish way is I'm just remembering it, not to make us feel old, but it's got to be almost 20 years ago now when the Human Giant was on MTV and I had a sketch show on VH1 and the Virginia Tech massacre happened.
Yeah.
And it was like, I think Columbine happened before that, right? Yeah. Columbine was before Virginia Tech, but yeah. Virginia Tech was then like a, it was taken very seriously. I didn't mean to say that in an eye-rolling way. I'm just like saying with all of us, it's like, Jesus Christ, somebody send those people a message about how serious to take death. But the craziest, I was watching MTV. I was watching your guys' show. And that sketch, Blood Pact, Blood Oath.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a sketch on the Human Giant show. The guys are trying to decide where to eat lunch during their business lunch, and they take a blood oath to.
Yeah, we decide to go to a barbecue place, but just in order to guarantee that no one will change their minds, we go into like the storeroom of the store. We work in like a fucking little tiny little video game store. We're like, okay, well, let's just so we're on the same page, like, let's go take a blood oath, you know, so that no one changes where we're going today, you know. So we go in the back, and there's just this fucking ritual where we all slice open our hand, and it becomes really gruesome, and, like, we drink blood, and it becomes like a bananas.
Maybe I mentioned this the last time were you and Sheer on the show together, and on this show together? Maybe I brought
last
this
time,
up.
Yeah, yeah,
did,
yeah.
Did I bring this up
that
time?
I don't think
so. But, yeah, so I'm watching that sketch, and the other thing is that also at the time my sketch show on VH1, like, there was this cold open we wanted to do where there was a sniper in the show or something that was like kind of an old SCTV style thing where it was just like we would just have different gimmicks for our wraparounds.
Yeah.
And like we wanted to just have there was a sniper loose as a cinematic trope. Now you can't pitch that without you would think like, oh, you're doing a mass shooting joke. It's like, no, snipers weren't that topical.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
They were a cinematic trope.
Yeah.
And so it started when we wrote it was that, and then Virginia Tech happened, and then the word came down from VH1, which is the same company, Viacom.
Yeah.
It saying like, no, don't can't do this
do
sniper sketch.
And then you turned on the TV and saw.
Well, here's what I saw, and I thought, I was watching it, and then so that sketch is they take the blood oath, so then it just goes insane, and it's like they're rubbing blood on each other's nipples, and they're just like drinking blood, and it's going insane, and it turns into this like satanic thing, and there's just blood everywhere, and in the middle of it, just quietly and unceremoniously, this giant lower third bug comes up, and it says, MTV supports the families of the victims of the Virginia Tech massacre.
Are you serious?
Wow.
And it just stayed there.
During that sketch? Like, just coincidentally? Or they?
I didn't
someone
think it was a coincidence.
Wow.
Because
I never heard
of the
that.
Note I got from VH1, I was like, oh, they... And I parsed it in two. I was like, oh, because we're not Human Giant. We got to get our thing killed. But then I thought, well, be reasonable, Dan. They already shot this.
Yeah.
It's airing. And they killed your script. But this couldn't be killed. So they brought this bug up.
That's
over it.
Amazing.
Then I talked to people about it later and explained that story. And so, I don't know. It could have been you even said like, no, that had to be coincidence, just sheer coincidence, but it looked like they
I don't think that they are organized enough to like go through their shows and know that there's a really violent bloody sketch airing tonight. We should put a a condolence message there, but that is perfect timing. And also, I don't know. It sounds like something Viacom would do too. You know, like this is really
perfect
fucked
way
up.
Of dealing with it, because then the families of the victims would be so relieved.
Oh yeah,
they'd be watching the sketch.
They'd be
and
watching
going
the
like,
sketch.
Well, wasn't there
show.
Blood everywhere when my brother got killed? And so I'm feeling bad. I think I should start flipping the channel. Honey, wait, look.
There's a message.
We love you.
Oh,
we love you, Donald. Fuck. Well, if they're gonna put that lower third,
I'm
up.
Cool with it. I'm cool with this sketch.
I think we killed Charles Manson.
Did he just die?
He died at 8:16.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Did we kill him with our words?
I think right at the time that we were talking about him dying, he died.
Is that true?
We said Manson the third time, and his juice got beetled.
Yeah. I don't want to become famous for that.
Maybe we were
the
late.
The Manson killer.
But something tells me it was going to happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
So just is there any like what was it like just old age just
I gotta go guys I'm so sorry I'm so upset about
no,
this
no
just,
please, stay
no
please
no he was just like he was a cool guy and
nobody
the last straw
right now
no he was just
stay
I
with
gotta
us.
Go I mean I gotta go
we should pour some more drinks
I don't know how to deal with this I am so sad
I heard he hung himself in his cell and his note said he's like look I know what's coming. There's a lot of allegations.
Yeah.
He
I did some
it.
Fucked up stuff. People might be talking about this.
He's like, yeah, I don't, you know, this is going to ruin me.
Yeah.
Manson out.
I sexually assaulted Leslie Van Houten.
Let's just say I did not run an equitable ranch. There will be allegations.
I don't know why he didn't get killed in the first place, why there wasn't a death penalty for
well,
him.
Well, because he, I mean, this is going to sound, I know how this is going to make me sound.
Yeah, and maybe, never
but, did but I was just about to go like, well, because he barely did anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But true. That is the thing, like, that's a 20-year-old fetish I have, not for Manson, but just for, like, exceptionalism. Like I just get mad, or I used to get mad. I think there's some residual shit there where I just get mad about, like, how hypocritical we are about our treatment of prisoners, murderers, whatever. Like I think he killed a couple people here and there because he was a scumbag, but he was in prison for his entire life because he had more influence over kids than the government.
Yeah.
And I just always is like, this is horse shit. Like I'm not that he should be out in the street, but then again, also like, come on. Like, pick a lane, society. Do you respect this guy, or do you like? I don't know, man. I remember I've talked about it on this podcast where I was like, where I saw like this like inside the prison where he was, and there was like this like security guard going like giving a tour of his cell and like showing all the stuff that he was making, like these art project, like he'd made like a tarantula out of sock threads, and it was like really looked like a tarantula.
Sounds badass.
This is a good night to doff of the cap to Charles Manson's arts and crafts. and he like the prison guard kept picking up the stuff. Oh, it looks like he made a tarantula, a photorealistic tarantula out of sock threads. You know, again, he's not supposed to be doing this because he doesn't have his arts and crafts card. He lost it in February. And I remember watching it and going like, where's your fucking card for anything, you screw? And I was like, and my girlfriend, who was like a huge Roman Polanski fan and who blames Roman Polanski's entire
weekend, shall we say?
She just blames. That was my first fight with that girlfriend, and I found out like she's like, why don't you marry Charles Manson? I was like, what the fuck do you care? What are you? And she's like, because you ruined Roman Polanski's life. And it was like it was one of those like fights with a girlfriend where you actually kind of fall in love like during the fight because you're like, wow, you're fucked up too. Like you really love Roman Polanski. Anyways,
so he died just of being. An old dude?
I'm pretty sure it's just to being an old dude.
Yeah. So wait, refresh my memory. So he just told people to kill people.
I mean, yeah, he was definitely guilty of murders throughout his life, but I think all of the murders that he actually committed himself, he was paid up on those. Because our society does let you murder some people and serve a couple years in prison, and he did do that. And then, but the real reason he was in prison is because he was like a cult leader that inspired people to go out and kill a bunch of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I always found that a little. Now I'm 44. Now he's dead. I don't care. I'm not an iconoclast anymore. I want my old Obama society back. I just want a hot cup of coffee and some hypocrisy and some drone strike enforced fucking like first world comfort. I'm sorry I ever talked a tall game. I was never Noam Chomsky. I was never off the grid. I never ate any kind of pill. I'm a fucking pussy and I just want my comfort back. I'm sorry I ever sided with Charles Manson. But I just, at the time, I felt like if you made me pick a side between the guy that's locked up for influencing people to murder people and the person who's saying, yeah, he's not supposed to make this spider because he doesn't have his arts and crafts card. And it's like, I don't want to be on that team.
Yeah.
Because then I'm next.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell anybody to kill anybody, but at the time I was like, you know, maybe I'll be influencing people from a ranch at some point.
Well, in your rap, you did.
Yeah.
And it could still happen.
Give me a beat.
Oh, shit.
Yo, it's about time. We got a new Manson. Yo, you feel like dancing? To the new Manson. Beat, to the fucking feet. Put your feet down and it's gonna be beat. Beat up and beat down. Fucked your mama so hard her smile was a frown. Turned her upside down. Fucked her again. Put my dick inside her mouth. Did it again. From 9 to 10, 10 p.m., refractory period. Yo, new Manson. Yo, start dancing. Left foot, right foot, jump in the air. Fucked your mama so hard, gave her long hair. She became a hippie. Came to my ranch, said, let's do something trippy. Go up in the hills, kill people with a fork. Right pig on the wall. Start a race war. Black people, white people. That was their plan. Does everybody know that was their plan? That was their plan. Charles Manson was a fucking horrible racist. That's the other thing that I learned. That's why I shouldn't be sympathetic to Manson. Charles Manson was a racist guy. He said, here's why. We're going to be the only ones left. We're going to start a race war, be the only ones left. We're going to go kill these famous people and write black people did it on the wall, basically. And then everyone will kill each other, and then they'll be in a shelter, helter-skelter, and they'll come out and never felt better. All right, Charles Manson, yo, don't stop the beat. Don't stop the beat. New Manson in the street. New Manson's named Dan Harmon. Going on the ranch, he's causing no harm and just inspiring people to live. But what's the shit you give? Gonna put me in a cell next? Just because I sucked your mama's neck? Gave her a hickey? Never slipped her a Mickey. It was always consensual on the dance floor. Me and your mama go back a long way. Fucked her mama so hard, she's Doris Day. And I'm Gene Kelly. Fucked your mama until my dick got smelly. Ugh, gross. Sorry, sorry, sorry. So disgusting. Bad rap is no good.
A PSA.
Bad rap is no good. Metal isn't wood. You can't make a flute from a sewer cap. Rap. Rappity rap, I'm gonna rap about this and rap about that. Put my left foot forward and my right foot back. Oh shit, Manson's back. Get on the floor and tell people, go out, you don't need a steeple. Take your shit into the hills and fucking do some kills. And write Helter Skelter on the wall, and then we'll get a race war from it all. And we'll dig a bunker in the ground, and here's what we will have found: that the black people killed all the white people. And then we'll have bottle caps for money and we'll be happy. I'm not sure what the plan was. Okay, here's the deal. I fucked your mama's heel. Rubbed my dick on the joint. Gave myself a point. Made a game of it, a parlor game. Fucked your mama. Fuck is the same, but the point's giving me an incentive. When I fuck, I get inventive. Fucked your mama so hard she came. Fucked your mama, did it again. Went to Detroit. Fucked your mama in Beloit. That's a place in Wisconsin. Your mama is ensconced in my cum. All right.
no more fucking mamas. It's the wrong time. It's not the right place to be disrespecting women all over the place. You rhyme place to place, and then you get a rhyme coming on her face. And women are human beings. They're equals, and they have feelings, and we should respect them as partners. But I fucked your mama really hard, harder than I've ever fucked your dad. And when I fuck men, I'm not half bad. I'm bisexual, bi-curious. I'm going to fuck you so hard that you wonder what it is that I did with you last night. And then you'll go to work, and you'll start to feel tight in your neck and your spine and part of your calf. And then you go to the doctor, and he'll say, "What have you done?" And you'll say, "Son, went out with Dan Harmon, and the fun begun." And he'll say, don't go out with him. He's fucked up. He goes to the gym with Rob Hubel when he works out. Fucked his mama till she got the gout. Her legs got kind of cramped on the ramp. On the treadmill, Rob Hubel gonna do it in the bubble. Rob Hubel's mom's here to stay. Rob Hubel workout today. Rob Hubel workout rap. Rob Hubel, don't take that. Rob Hubel, work them bones. Rob Hubel, don't go home. Rob Hubel gonna get fit. Rob Hubel's mom's got tits. I squeeze them and I fuck them. I lick her titties and suck them. I made his mom pregnant. Rob Hubel is my son. Rob Hubel's my son. That's where the story begun. I held Rob Hubel up and said, "Be like your dad, 7-Up. Scintillating, effervescent, elevating. Bring my dick up to floor 3. Take a pee. There's a vast difference between you and me in the elevator of my dick, you see. Vast difference. Seminal vesicles. Tube leading from my testicles. Seminiferous tubules. YouTube with the jewels. YouTube seminiferous YouTubules. Yo, New Manson. I'm dancing, hopping down, make a frown. New Manson. New Manson. New Manson just got born on Sunday morn. Got all shaven and shorn. Eat some corn. Mash it up. Make it soup. Pee it out. Eat it with poop. Put it on a plate with a fork. Fuck your mama like my name was Mork. Mindy. In the place to be. Pam Dauber doesn't need more grief. Leave her out of it. New Manson. New Manson, Charles' name. Inspiring's my game. Gonna talk to people, tell them what to do, take out the forks, killing through, and stab pregnant women. Then go swimming in their blood. Roman Polanski got so fucked up that he fucked a child. That's what's up. It's Charles Manson's fault. What, his hands were tied on that one, apparently. That's what they say. If it hadn't been for Manson, he would have been a proud father. Roman Polanski. It's kind of weird when you see his recent movies with Johnny Depp. They're not that good. Forgive me. AFI Top 100. Fucked your mama so hard. Charles Manson. Yeah. Manson. Sock threads. Sock threads, make a spider. Fucked your mama on a Ryder truck. U-Haul, don't matter which one. Took it across the country to have some fun. Moved from New York to L.A. Started a killing spree today. Started a cult on a Manson ranch. Said, go out there like your name was Blanche on Golden Girls. Take this fork for a whirl. Go stab some people with it. All right, we're talking in circles. Massacres. Blood. Virginia Tech. Families. Word. Johannesburg. All right. Stop.
New Manson.
Man, they could have.
New Manson.
It's not your guys' job to put me out of my misery, but yeah.
No. Well done, sir. You made
Manson,
the whole...
There were some catchy parts.
There were some catchy parts.
Well, you have done stuff for HBO. and you've done stuff for Adult Swim, that you've been a producer. Is that something that you, I know,
you're right the off best Manson. At bringing it back to me.
No, this is the, I don't want to ruin it by saying it, but this is the perfect fucking show format. It's like, just fucking, that's my dream. It's just like.
you like producing. Is it, do you lean towards producing more than performing?
I don't love doing that.
Because it's hard.
I tell you what I like. I like it. I'm as lazy as the next person. I like it when you can show up and they wrote a really funny script and you do that script. And if there's time, they're like, and improvise and also make it if you want to throw in your own jokes. Like, I love that. But more and more, that doesn't happen. So I feel like I write stuff out of necessity, like for myself.
And that's not a sustainable life, right? Like an actor's life.
I don't think that
it
is.
You could get really caught off guard. Like, it's like next to NFL player in how well you're treated for a very short time.
Yes. And then you are, your phone does not ring. Yeah. I just didn't ever want to be one of, you want to be able to control things as much as you can. And I'm not a good writer. I don't think I'm a good writer, but it's fucking really hard. I have a hard time writing. You probably just fucking pound it out and it's genius, but like, I fucking sit there and like just sweat it out. It's so hard, but I just
the hardest part?
What's that?
Is that the hardest part, or is the
writing,
or is it harder to manage? Because
the managing, the managing of the thing. I've had help with because for Dead Body and stuff, I did that with the guys from Children's Hospital with Abominable, and so they helped with all that and Funny or Die. So I've had a lot of support with. I don't know how to fucking hire crews and do a budget for a show. Like I sort of hire someone to do that for me. But the actual like, you know, so I try to focus on like the writing and then like getting the right mix of actors to help us out, other comedy people to help us out. So I like all that, but to your point, I do that out of necessity because like to just be like a guy that's popping up every now and then on TV shows and movies like that. You can't, I don't know how you can do that anymore. Like, I think you have to have like, you know,
I would just have filled with panic the whole time.
Yeah. You have to be creating stuff. You know, you have to,
because even if you're successful at it, I think that the psychological of not controlling your own destiny is still a mind fuck.
But I admire actors because it's to be able to suppress that anxiety and not like succumb to that.
Completely insane. Yeah. But I do get very jealous of people that, that just fucking show, you know, they just like, oh, and then I was on this show and then I did this huge movie and now I'm fucking set. You know, it's like, I just haven't had that. And like, you know, but more power to you if like that's your,
if you can be a gun for hire.
What is the goal? The goal, because I've been a fool, I think, or have I? Maybe I'm nailing it. I don't know, because I just feel like I've spent so long in such a panic and I've backed into, well, so it's like there's this fundamental layer of like, well, you gotta not be homeless. You gotta not end up fucked up, like you gotta end up not stupid, like that you didn't see this trend or that trend coming, or the you know, you didn't see your own obsolescence. I just have this very Wisconsin like just terror in me that I don't even think about. It's just there. It's just the foundation of my life. It's like you gotta retire, which is so funny because it's like
I'm not. Yeah, I have no desire to retire. Like.
I do. Like, what would you do? Not knowing the answer to that question is called freedom. All you have to do is find $1 million under a rock. And then, I do Rick and Morty. I do stuff for fun. Like, I.
Oh, no. What? Come back. Come back.
Well, I was just thinking about the fact that I'm just so wrong about everything because I do all this shit, you know, and it probably like, it's like Rick and Morty comes from such joy, so easy. It's like Adult Swim said, do something. And I said, well, I don't want to do something bad. So I called Justin and then like just yes and to Justin into this thing that makes so many people happy that then also now is the thing that I'm going to end up. that is going to represent the biggest paycheck I've ever gotten out of all the shit that I've ever done. And it's also the thing that was just fun. So what is all this other Daffy Duck shit that I'm always pulling where I'm like, well, you know, I think that fiber optic is the future. So I want to get in a room with Taco Bell and talk to them about a sketch show made of ground beef.
Yeah.
Where you can vote for each crouton. And I call it the Harmon Taco Deluxe package. And like I'm trying to be a producer because I'm in a panic, you know?
Yeah, I don't know the answer. I guess it just depends on how you value your time and how you value your sanity and if money is the most important thing or if it's just like, oh, I want to make something that I really like and you know, I don't know. It's different for everybody, I guess.
Except for the hustle. The hustle is the same for all.
The hustle is the same for everybody.
Whether it comes from wanting to retire early or whether it comes from having to put food on the table or whether it comes from wherever, it does not change.
Well, that's what's funny.
But you've been great at it.
Well, I don't know about great, but I just try to fucking keep doing shit. But thank you for saying that. But that's what's funny to me is like people online or whatever, like on Twitter or whatever, just like... When people say, like, why the fuck would you do that? And they'll see you in something that's shitty. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, why would you do that? It's like, well, one, you just try a lot of shit. Some of it is good. Some of it is not good. You saw something that wasn't that good. I'm doing other shit, too, right. You know? Yeah. But I agree with you. That thing was not that good. You know, like, you know, whatever. But
why were you in Garfield 7?
Yeah. and then there's stuff like that. Like I would be in Garfield 7 in a heartbeat.
Well, because the stakes are pretty low. Like, you shouldn't care. Why are you watching Garfield 7,
exactly.
Motherfucker?
That's what I say. I say, why the fuck are you watching Garfield 7?
Why did you see me at that party? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to be in Garfield 7.
I feel like that stigma has gone away, which is a good thing probably, but it's gone away because like that Hollywood like edifice has been cracked. Like we're not people look at what we do as honest labor now a little bit. They look at it as very, very privileged, like we're lucky cuz I haven't lifted a box in years.
Yeah.
And I have a 5-bedroom house and I don't have 5 children. I have 2 dogs and some Slim Jims and it's like, so it's a mansion relative to what I've done and who I am. And it's a fucking wonderful life. But I do at the same time think that on an unconscious level, people don't think about it anymore the way they used to. I remember when David Cross was in Small Soldiers 2 or something, and I was like, what? David?
Yeah.
Because I was fresh off the boat from Milwaukee and was like, it's just everything was a choice and everything mattered. Yeah. And like, I can't imagine anybody's like, Aubrey Plaza, why'd you do Grumpy Cat? I think the answer to everything now is because it's a joke, because life's a joke, because working is important.
Sometimes it's like it was December and there was nothing else going on, and I wanted to go to fucking, you know, they were shooting it in Australia, and I thought that'd be a fun place to go.
But
I was in the middle of depression, and they called, so I had to get off the couch.
Yeah, or I just broke up with my boyfriend, and I wanted to get away from him, so I went to,
Me wondering why David Cross is in Small Soldiers 2 comes from this weird old world supposition that the goal is to become Cary Grant or something. That there's going to be like you're going to be in Lawrence of Arabia if you play your cards right, or you're going to be Bill Murray. And like, I just don't, we see.
That doesn't exist anymore.
It's hard to tell though, because it's a moving target, because like my world has become completely different. So I don't know if I don't know if the world has changed or I've changed, but when I see a poster on a bus stop and like Paul F. Tompkins is looking out from behind a genie bottle or whatever, I'm making that up. That's not real. But if I saw that, I would be like, I'd toot my horn and go like, fuck yes, Paul F. Get that paycheck.
Yes.
Yeah. But maybe that's a total distortion of working out here.
Yeah, like, I don't know that that status exists anymore of like, oh, then you just like the Cary Grant analogy is like a good one, but yeah, I don't think that exists. I don't think you ever graduate to this stratosphere where then you just fucking like coast, you know, and you're just in fucking huge awesome projects. I mean, maybe like I feel like Chris Pratt has done that, you know, like in a cool way. Like he's in huge, cool movies, and you know,
But even Middleditch is doing phone ads, and usually you didn't do those at the same time. You do a series, you get off the series, and you'd be like, "Do you guys miss me? I'm repping a product."
But whereas when I see Middleditch in that phone ad, my first thought is cha-ching.
Fuck yeah,
smart.
I think all that has changed. I think the commercial thing has changed. Yeah. I think like now, yeah, there's no shame in that. Like I feel like that's just fucking,
and it's simultaneous.
Take their money, yeah.
You're on a TV show, and you've got great commercials. It's great.
Yeah, because I would feel the same way about an NFL player. Like if I'm not a fan of sports, but every time I see an athlete in a sock commercial or something, I'm like, oh, good, save your money. Like you're a gladiator, and they're gonna murder you and hang you up to dry. And like, it's so great for you and your family that you got to like advertise beefsteak or something. Like if you make it through that thing, like just. Put that money in a coffee can and fucking guard it with a shotgun. Like buy a house in the worst part of the country, and so that it stays there forever.
State Farm is the greatest insurance on the planet. State Farm.
My name is Jumpin' Jack Lightning.
You probably ask yourself why I'm at IHOP.
Is there any commercial, not that you were doing him, but is there any commercial that Shaq will not do?
Back pain.
Like
bed pills.
Man,
Taco Bell.
Everything.
Pepsi. Dawn's back pill. Depends underwear. Air. Welcome to China.
I was at the Turner Upfronts and who was the combination of like Conan. And I think Charles Barkley and Anderson Cooper, like, really funny. But I was amazed. Like, Charles Barkley is, like, really funny. He's like, really. Is he known as among
I don't, I don't
like,
know him. He's hilarious.
But I mean, is his reputation, is he like the Jenny McCarthy of basketball players in that it's like, oh, look, he can like make faces too?
It's like he's the David Lee Roth of of basketball players. You're like, man, fuck this. You funny. But fuck this dude. But he does have, he's got bits. He's the comic relief.
But that Shaquille O'Neal Waze voice, careful. There's an obstruction coming up. Don't have a Shaq-cident. Amazing. We love that. I like. Yeah. Like that. There's tarot cards we have for different people. Like we need an Athena. We need an Aphrodite. We need a Zeus. We need a Hermes. Arnold Schwarzenegger occupied this for so long. It was just like his catchphrases were parodies of catchphrases, which were parodies of catch. It's just like he you always want that like big dumb brute, like somebody that kind of sounds like they're an oaf, and that they just like say stuff like Shaq-cident. I'm sorry, Shaquille O'Neal, if I called you an oaf. Like,
it's okay.
I don't know if you have 146 IQ. You're a giant. Like, maybe you sound slow because your heart is probably beating like a whale's. Like it's probably like when you listen to the whale beats and it's like boom, boom, because it's like a bucket of blood has to go up 9 feet.
You are never going to be on his podcast.
There's no way I'm digging myself out of this 9-foot, 300-pound hole of making fun of Shaquille O'Neal. I didn't mean to call him slow.
I feel like I should just leave you here to wallow in this hole, but we have to wrap it up.
No, Brandon.
Nope.
Talk to Tiny Brandon for me. Tell him, help me with Shaq.
Tiny Brandon's pissed off too.
Tiny Brandon's fucked.
Shit.
I am fucked. I have no support system in the African American community.
let's take him home with something sweet.
Did we talk through a whole podcast? Did we do it?
We actually pulled it off.
Thank you so much, Rab Hubel.
Dude, thanks for letting me come out here and I gotta say, man, New Manson. I hope that catches fire.
Yeah. I just got a text from Ryan Seacrest. And, once we clear it.
Ryan Seacrest is you're hanging out with him right now?
Yeah, we're the same height.
It seems like he has more shit to deal with right now than texting you.
No, it's pretty much 16 hours a day. And then he goes back to work.
He's always texting you.
Does anybody ever connect the dots between Seacrest and watercress? There's probably nothing to do there, right? Seacrest. Like
it feels like a rap song about to happen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks.
And even Hubel might have to jump in on this one for just a couple bars. Shit.
Yeah, I think I'll have to throw it to both of you.
I'll fuck it up.
Oh shit.
Yo.
Okay.
Right about now. It's time to rap. Rapping. It's not about just clapping. It's not about fur trapping. It's not turn of the century. Overlapping.
We're just waiting for that beat to drop a little.
Colonial nightmare, sea to sea, shining coast to coast. Look at me, Plymouth Rock done landed on me, cause I ain't doing nothing but slinging rock, you see, from Staten Island to the coast and Maine and to the Bahamas is my game. I got every borough, I can name them by name. I got Queens, Brooklyn, Bahamas, and Maine. Yo, I knew all of New York. I could count the times like my fingers were a fork. My name's Poseidon and I live under the water. I'm fucking mamas and I'm also fucking daughters, cause everyone is a fish to me. And I can talk to fish as well as you can see. And you can see in the dark, but you cannot see me, because I'm the monster that's coming after thee. I talk biblical when I'm stretching for a rhyme. I talk biblical when the forks need a tine. I talk biblical when I'm rhyming another time. I'm Poseidon and I talk biblical to dodge shit. Yo, I fucked your mama so hard. Fucked your mama so hard. Fucked your mama for 100 yards, throwing it to MC Hubel. Now!
Tears on the face of Ryan Seacrest. Tears on the face of Ryan Seacrest. He thought he was the best, but he is a monster. Seacrest, you know you did it.
Like a alcoholic sponsor, you was a monster. Back to Hubel. Check out the beats. Rhymes ain't futile.
Yo. Yo. Stalling for the beat, waiting for it to drop.
Yes.
Right about now.
Tricky beat.
Stalling for beats, stalling for rhymes, stalling for time, stalling for feet, stalling all the time, yeah. Stalling for crime, stalling all across this country line.
New Manson, favorite song. New Manson is my favorite song, except for the part about murdering pregnant women. Not cool with that. Not cool with that. Super stony beat. Super stony. On my feet. Weed is what you like to smoke when you have got to fight a bully at your school or house. Smoke that weed, then go downtown and get some Seacrest, a sandwich for him to eat, and then a drive. The beat back to your house where Seacrest lives. He lives in the mouse with his friends.
Now Brandon's gonna take it like milk from a cow. He's gonna squeeze the udders and make you all shudder. Brandon Johnson in the house now.
I might not take that shit like milk, but I come dressed oh so silk. Clean as fuck, oh my god, so sharp. I fuck this motherfucking mom straight up in a park. After dark, we be running round, getting down. I'm a fucking queen so hard, knock off the crown. I'm fucking mamas, my dick is causing mad drama. Look at me, damn, I really miss Obama. Anyway, back to your mom, here's how we parlay. Got her on her back, split the pussy open like a fillet. Nigga, sir, that shit, I'm a freaking see your mama. Hit her now, banging on them drums, call it Tama. Shout out to Tama, or shall we say Ludwig? Ooh-wee, look at what the kid just did. Jumped on stage, and he's funky like someone shitted. I'ma pass it back to you, Jen, come on and get it.
Can't believe you get to say the N-word. I can't believe you get to say the N-word. I'm gonna use that as an excuse why my rhymes are weaker than yours.
You can
it said niggling.
No. Nope. Nope.
That's just being lazy,
nope.
Niggling.
Nope. All right. Well,
keep your mama giggling.
Right about now, we're not going to try to follow that. We're going to leave this world like a cat in a hat. That's how weak we've gotten. Brandon Johnson's rhymes leave us besotten. That's not a word. It's been a good show. It hasn't been a turd. If it did seem like a turd, it had some healthy peanuts in it, and those were our words. We spoke from the heart. We spoke from the head. I fucked your mama till cake turned to bread. Reverse Midas. I make shit less valuable.
New Manson.
Yo. New Manson had its moments. Yo. Zach McKeever was on beats.
Yeah.
He also does all the audio treats.
Yeah.
But not just treats. He does all the foundations. Everything you hear is due to Zach McKeever's nation. Chris Baruff is the man that directs the show. He looks through his eyes and so you go. If you are immersed, it's due to his talent. Yo. Alan Havey. Sarah Hill.
Oh shit.
Sarah Hill.
Oh shit.
Sarah Hill. Go up the hill, come down again. She's not just Chris Bruff's girlfriend. That's not fair to her. She does a lot of work. She keeps the show together. She comes up with the titles. She gives them to me on a list, and that makes me entitled to pick one of them. And then I say, I'll choose that one. And then she also... Okay. All right, we ran out of beat.
Shout out to Steve Levy. And now we got a Levy. Good night, all. Nolan Fabricas, thank you as well. This has been Harmontown. Thank you to Rob Hubel.
Thank you for having me.
Watch Do You Want to See a Dead Body on YouTube Red.
I've been Brandon Johnson in for Jeff Davis. We miss you so much, Jeff Davis. Hurry on back. We also miss you, church. We'll see you next time. Good night.
Peace out.